Hello, I'm Hester.
Hi, I'm Rianne.
And we are Wet
Leg.
We are in Frederick's apartment. Really beautiful.
We arrived in Sweden, Stockholm,
last night.
And we went to the hotel and we went to our rooms, and there was somebody already in my room, and then I had to get a new room. And those are our first, it's not really like a first impression, but those are the first interactions we've had in Sweden.
Welcome, Wet Leg.
Thank you, Frederick.
I'm so excited to have you here. So someone was sleeping in your room when you opened the door, or no?
They weren't sleeping, they were like rustling about. And the room smelled like chicken crisps.
Chicken crisps.
That's funny because my room also smelled a little bit like chicken crisps. I don't know. It was really nice. I had a really good sleep and a really good shower.
The soothing scent of chicken crisps.
Have you been here before to Sweden or even to Scandinavia?
Really briefly, when I was interrailing, when I was young.
You described yourselves as little country bumpkins in The Guardian. I had to Google the word bumpkin, and apparently it means an unsophisticated or socially awkward person from the countryside.
That is accurate.
So what are your most unsophisticated traits?
I eat with my knife and fork the wrong way around. You're supposed to eat with your fork in your left hand. I eat with my fork in my right hand and my knife in my left hand.
Goodness, that's embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing.
How did you pick up that?
So with my left hand, I picked up my knife, and then with my right hand, I picked up my fork.
How did you start eating like that?
No, I know, I'm joking.
You know, I think that Americans do it that way, because they will cut up everything on their plate before they start eating. So, and then they just, you know, lose the knife and eat with the fork.
Yeah, well, the thing is, with a spoon, you're allowed to eat with that in your right hand. That's accepted in civilized society. But apparently not the fork. Breaking boundaries every day.
But about bumpkins, I also Googled it on Urban Dictionary, which is a very, you know, helpful online site for slang. And apparently a bumpkin is the act of snorting cocaine off a man's erect penis while he's sitting on the toilet. And I didn't know that either.
Did you know that? I didn't know that one. That's why you should Google everything. That's why you should Urban Dictionary everything.
You were old friends when you started the band, right? What were your first impressions of each other?
When we first started playing music together, we were quite timid. I was really confused. I was like, why would you ask me?
It's time to wake up. I'm so sorry. My alarm's just gone off. Why
it's very
am I
soothing
like this?
Piano tune.
Yeah. It's
too soothing often.
Yeah, it's too soothing. I just sleep through it and imagine I'm like dancing. Okay, sorry about this, guys. When we first met, I was probably like more, I don't know, it was the first day of college, so we met like 30 other people at the same time. We were put into different groups at college originally, so I don't think I really, your group was like the mystery group. I thought you were all the year above. I had no idea that we were in the same year for like a whole like 2 weeks or something.
What did you study?
Music. Yeah, like pop music.
You're from the Isle of Wight, which is quite famous for its festival. You played one of your first shows there. What do you remember from that night?
Well, it was a familiar place for us. There's a tent at the Isle of Wight Festival called Kashmir Cafe, and it's run by locals, and a lot of local bands play there. And it's just like a really like lovely communal space to go with friends and like support your friends' bands. So we weren't new to it by that point, because we'd like played and sung in like other friends' projects in previous years. And yeah, it was one of our first wet leg gigs, and there were like 10 people there, and we played like barely 20 minutes because we didn't really have enough songs. But it was really fun, like, to go from just like being in like you know, like a garage setting basically, to the outside world. We just went from there, really. I think it was our first one, wasn't it?
It was the first one. It was terrifying.
Yeah.
But good terrifying.
It was a bit hit or miss.
Did you go to the festival on the Isle of Wight even as children, or, you know, back in the days? Because it used to be this, it had this massive importance for like the counterculture of the late 60s. Jimi Hendrix played there. Did like your grandparents go to those shows?
My uncles did. But yeah, it's quite a different festival nowadays.
Yeah. It's a different site. And yeah, it took a long break. I think it was like 30 years from like the original Isle of Wight Festival to what it is now.
There's still this kind of misconception that it's the same festival that was happening in like the late 60s, early 70s. It's like, no, it's a
because they had a very long break.
It's very different.
But what's it like to grow up on the Isle of Wight?
Much like any small town, I think. Slow and sleepy and like rural. I think it's like young people kind of move away, and other like older generations will kind of come to settle. It's a holiday destination. You often meet people from the mainland and be like, oh yes, I remember going to the Isle of Wight when I was like 7 with my family, and we went to Allen Bay and collected coloured sands. And yeah, in there's that lyric in When I'm 64 by the Beatles where they're like,
every
holiday.
Summer we rent a cottage on the Isle of Wight if it's not too dear. I guess that's when 64 was old.
That's when you go to the Isle of Wight, when you hit 64.
I think it's probably more like 84 now. 64 seems a bit wrong, a bit young to be retiring.
Despite its cultural importance, I couldn't find that many artists from the Isle of Wight when I tried to Google it. There was, of course, the 80s pop funk sensation Level 42. They came from the Isle of Wight. And the drummer from the Finnish metal band Hanoi Rocks, Razzle, who was from England and who got killed in a car accident with Vince Neil from Motley Crue at the wheel. He was from the Isle of Wight as well, Razzle.
Whoa!
That's
do you know the Bees?
The Bees, yes. They're
from the
pop group.
Isle of Wight.
Yeah.
And Trixie's Big Red Motorbike as well. An old 80s group that I...
That sounds good.
Great name.
Rianne, you previously recorded under the name Rain and did like baroque-like sort of Kate Bushy piano pop. And I saw this amazing picture of you with balloons tied to your hair, purple lips, and you were swallowing some kind of neon spaghetti.
Yeah.
I was there for that.
Were you there?
Yeah, I was. I don't know why.
That's so strange.
What made you abandon that project? Or is it still going on?
No, I wasn't enjoying it. I I had like this one gig where I just cried like two songs into my set. I didn't want to go to the gig anyway, and I just like was kind of mindlessly doing this thing that was so attached to my identity. I'd been doing it for like 5 years or something.
So you started crying during your show?
Yeah. Yeah.
And did the audience think that, wow, that's part of the spectacle, or did they?
I don't think anyone noticed.
Oh.
I was just like, oh, I've got to go. And then I went and I like just cried.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And the artist liaison people, bless them, they were like, what's wrong? Are you okay? What have we done? And it was like, just, it was, there was no real like rhyme or reason to it. I think I just had enough. It's like a really lonely existence, and yeah, like I still go through the same amount of like anxiety and self-doubt, but I have Hester and the rest of our band, and yeah, like a team, there's like a team around us, so it makes it a lot, the moments of anxiety and self-loathing and self-doubt makes them more manageable.
Yeah, there are moments of anxiety in your songs as well, of course, but I guess that you have a more joyful vibe to it.
Yeah, I think on reflection, the songs that we've written have, I think we had the intention of writing fun kind of like upbeat party songs, but we are undeniably a bit emo, and so sadness just kind of seeps on in there, doesn't it?
According to your official biography, you write sad music for party people and party music for sad people. That's a nice way of putting it.
I think so. I think it sums us up.
A lot of people became depressed during the pandemic. What do you do to cheer yourselves up?
Get out of my head. Hang out with my friends, make something, go roller skating, call Hester, bake some cookies, just general distractions.
Roller skating?
Yeah.
I heard that you practice longboard dancing, which is basically dancing on long skateboards. That sounds very dangerous.
It's not the most dangerous thing you can do.
You just have to get very good at falling.
Because falling is inevitable.
I want it all to be okay. I want it all to stay the same. Run for the door.
This is Fuzz Jam by The Lazy Eyes. We picked this track because
Dan popped into our WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
Out of the blue.
Yeah, it's a track that Dan Carey just shared with me and Hester.
And he's your producer?
Yeah. He sent it to us, and then we sent it to the rest of our band, and now it's just a constant in the van or at soundcheck. Our bassist Ellis will always be playing the bass line.
Hester, I heard that you used to work in your parents' jewelry store, and you also make jewelry yourself. What's it like to work in a jewelry store?
It's really nice. You meet all sorts of people and get to... I don't know, it's quite a... Oh, and I haven't talked about it really, so sorry, I'm going to scramble. I love it. I have always loved making things with my hands. And it's just really lovely to meet all sorts of people and either repair a piece of sentimental jewelry that they have loved wearing, or it was handed down to them, or things like that. But we make new jewelry as well, so it's just a really lovely, wholesome, varied experience for me. I don't know, I've been doing it for a good few years now, and
you've never been worried about robberies or break-ins or things like that?
No, jewelry shops have great security.
You also do the artwork for your record covers. How did you come up with the idea for your album cover where you hug each other? The photo is taken from the back, and it looks like, it's a perfect image of friendship, I guess.
Mm. Yeah, we did have a photo shoot where we were looking for the album cover, and then we just were finding it really hard to pick one out of this professional photo shoot, and then our friend ended up just kind of candidly snapping us as we came off stage. Hester and I just kind of assumed that position that you see on the album cover, put our heads against the wall as a way of decompressing after the show, I suppose. And then that photo was taken, and then a week later it was sent to us, and we were just oh, how about this one? And yeah, so after a big fancy photo shoot, we just ended up going with one that was just taken by a friend.
Do you ever argue about anything?
Yeah, of course.
Like what?
I don't think we're
nothing that we could explain to you in 5 minutes. It's kind of the same arguments that you have with your family or your housemates, people that you're really close to, arguments. They're not arguments, but yeah, of course. It's just with the album, you can try and write a really happy album, but inevitably there's more than just one straight human emotion of pure happiness. And yeah, it's like, it's just part of like what makes any friendship or relationship strong, is like when you do have arguments and you can resolve them. And that is like, to me, that's what makes like a stronger friendship.
Speaking of relationships, you wrote this song called Wet Dream, where you quote an ex-boyfriend texting you about a wet dream that he had. Did he dream that he tried to pick you up by saying that he had Buffalo 66 on DVD, or was that just something you wrote, made up for the song?
No, he didn't say that he had a wet dream either. That was me just making fun of him.
Oh.
He said that he had a dream that we were married.
Oh.
Like, happily married, after we'd broken up.
What about the movie Buffalo 66? Did you watch it together at some point?
No, I watched that, like, just with a girlfriend when I was, like, much younger. And watching it back then and watching it now, it's, like, quite, I don't know, it's just such a problematic film, and Vincent Gallo himself is, like, a very, like, to say problematic is, like, not even, like, covering it.
Yeah, tell me about it. He used to, I interviewed him once when that movie came out, and we kind of promised him that we would put him on the cover of the fashion magazine that I worked for, which we didn't. And then I came home one night and my answering machine, like, this was in the late 90s, my answering machine was full of messages from Vincent Gallo saying that he would devote his life to destroy me and our magazine because we were socialist retards.
I've heard him. He's done a lot of that. He does, yeah.
Wow.
I really like the movie. I think it's beautiful. But it's, yes, as you say, it's basically kidnapping Christina Ricci, right?
Yeah. It's like a really problematic film. But then, like, in the film, he is like he's like kind of like the hero. And you kind of, like, as you're watching it, you do get like that Stockholm syndrome yourself. And you're like, oh, like, he's a bit of a dish. It's like, that's what I thought when I was
bit of a dish, younger. That's a nice way of putting it.
So, yeah, it's... And, like, in the song, like, the man in the song is, like, using his, like, knowledge of, like, this, like, cult indie film as, like, currency for, like, picking a girl up and... Yeah, there are characters that in real life that will do that, and so it just seemed like an apt film. This next song is Thy Mission by The Garden and Mac DeMarco. This is a song that when me and Hester were hanging out, kind of like incepting Wet Leg, we were listening to a lot of this band, The Garden. We were a bit obsessed with their music videos. A lot of them are DIY. I found that quite inspiring. Yeah.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com.
Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Rihanna, what was it like to work as a wardrobe assistant on an Ed Sheeran video? Did you make him wear that pink suit in the Bad Habits video?
No. Generally, when you're working on a big music video like that, the artist will have their own stylist. And we were, me and Emma Lipop, the stylist that I was working for, we were dressing the dancers, the other vampires. I don't know, it's just long days on set in the cold in Deptford.
But you told him to tuck his shirt in, right?
Mm.
That was your...
Well, it was just, it's not really my job, but it was just hanging out and it was just really, really annoying me. And so, you know, you go in and you do all your checks on the dancers and I just noticed his shirt and I was just like, Ned Shannon, tuck your shirt in. And he was like, okay.
What about your own videos? Because you have like a tremendous sense of style and fashion, especially in the Chaise Longue video where you kind of look like Anne of Green Gables, if you've read those books.
I've heard about a
Canadian farm girl who has ginger hair, freckles, and the heart of gold.
Hmm. Sounds like us.
How did you come up with that look? Almost like an Amish thing?
It was just purely accidental. We just ordered a big bulk of stuff. Online shops were closed because it was like mid-lockdown. So we just ordered a load of stuff and... Like you would in any kind of styling job, you just buy a lot, try things on, try out some different looks, you know, just play dress up for a bit like you would when you're like a lot younger. We just settled on big dresses, big hats and 90s flame sunglasses. Just seemed like a fun combo to us.
When did you realize that Chaise Longue was a song that people really, really enjoyed listening to?
When we got to Latitude Festival in the UK, it was one of the first festivals back after all the lockdowns and restrictions were starting to be lifted. And it was our first gig on the mainland as our lineup, like the five of us, and our sound engineer and tour manager, Karima. And we got on the ferry and we drove many miles to Norwich, I think. So, yeah. And on the way, we stopped at a service station and I saw Dreamwife there. And I had to walk past them, like through them. They were like hanging by these steps, and I was like, and then when we got to the festival,
you saw whom?
Dreamwife. They are
very cool.
And then we finally got to the festival, and I'm really doing a whole story.
That's okay.
And then we saw Dreamwife again as they were like getting ready to go on stage in like the big top. We were like, oh, what are we doing here? Da, da, da. Anyway, we got ourselves to the tent where we were playing and we were really nervous. We were like, oh, I wonder if anybody's going to come and watch. And then by the time we were ready to go on stage, there were people in the tent, like, waiting, I guess, to see Wet Leg. And it was really scary. And when we played Chaise Longue, people were singing the the words back to us, which never experienced anything like that before. It was really weird. But yeah, that's when I think we were like, oh, these people have all listened to the song. All of these people that we don't know, all these people that aren't our mums.
Or housemates.
Yeah.
Was there an actual chaise longue that inspired the lyrics?
I have a chaise longue in my flat, and when Rianne comes for sleepovers, that's where she will sleep, on the chaise longue.
How did the pandemic affect your work? Because you kind of started writing a lot during that period. Was it helpful in any way?
Yeah, it was really helpful. Of course, Hester was really busy with her job, and I was really busy with my job, and I was based in London. And so when the pandemic happened and the first lockdown was called, I went back to the Isle of Wight, and we had like a few songs written already, and we had the recording of Chaise Longue. And then we just had this like big and then we had this big expanse of time and space where we were able to just play around and try things that we'd never tried before, such as making the video for Chaise Longue that was made in lockdown. Also, I don't think I'd written a song for, like, I don't think I'd sat down and written a song just on my own for maybe a couple of years before the first lockdown was called. So it gave us time to do that. Yeah, it had a lot to do with where we are, with how we got to where we are now, like finding our management and signing to Domino. That all happened in lockdown.
Your video, Oh No, is full of online comments about you. I thought it must have been quite hard to find negative ones because everyone was just crazy about you, but you managed to find at least a few.
Oh, there are loads of neggy ones.
Maybe you remember the negative ones better than the positive. You know, everyone is like that. You know, if you put out, you know, a record or a book or anything, you know, you will remember all the nasty things that people say, but none of the good ones.
Yeah, I always compare it to like when I've been working in a cafe and you get loads and loads of nice customers. Everyone is so sweet, so lovely, very polite. You get one person that comes in a little bit hangry, and they're like, where's my panini? And they shout at you because they don't have a panini. And then they call you stupid because they don't have their panini.
And they call you stupid?
And then it ruins your day.
That's horrible.
Yeah. Very easy to forget to put a panini through. What can I say?
Oh No seems to be about smartphone addiction in a way. Do you spend much time on your phones? Or too much time?
Sometimes you just go to check the time. And then all of a sudden, it's an hour later, and you're like, I'm scrolling. and then you can stop, or you can't. Yeah, it's a tricky old thing.
It's very addictive.
One line really stuck with me. It goes, I checked my phone, and now I'm inside it. It's as if you're eaten by the phone, kind of trapped behind the touch screen.
Going through to a different dimension. It's a whole other world in the rectangles.
So many friends to talk to.
You got your band name from two emojis, right? You just tapped on like the emoji for wet and the one for leg.
Yeah.
Without thinking really what those symbols meant? Or is that just something you made up? Because
there are many legends about the origin of our band name. But it is nice to have a hieroglyphic, I suppose, for a band name.
Yes. Sorry, I say I suppose because Hester and I have had a week of press, and I pointed out to you yesterday that I keep saying I suppose at the end of like every sentence.
Did I just say
it? You just said it. Yeah. And now I really hear it. Sorry. Definitely be cutting that out.
Well, I suppose it's time we listen to Baccarat. You wanted to play which song by Baccarat? Sorry, I'm a Lady. Well, it goes like this.
I am a lady. Hello, stranger. You're a danger. To the law and order here. They don't like men like you. In our city.
How did you get into Baccarat?
We didn't get into Baccarat. Oh, wait, yes, we did.
Baccarat got into us.
Into our
like
hearts.
Like a virus.
Sorry, I'm a lady. Sorry, I'm a lady. I'm a rather be. Rather be. Just a little shady. Just a little shady. Not a dynamite. Dynamite.
My favourite Baccarat memories is on the Adam Buxton podcast where he chats with Louis Theroux, and Louis Theroux sings Yes Sir I Can Boogie, and like his falsetto is so lovely. But yeah, we listened to Baccarat a lot, didn't we? And this song, it's just as good as Yes Sir I Can Boogie, but like it's got different. Well, no, it isn't. So it's just so sassy. So we just love it.
You are a winner. I am a sinner. No excuse. No alibi. Temptations won the game, and you are to blame.
You mentioned your experiences with internet dating in Too Late, where you sang, I don't need no dating app to tell me that I look like crap, to tell me if I'm thin or fat, or tell me, should I shave my rat? How many Tinder dates have you been on?
I missed out on the Tinder time when that was like fresh. But I think I've used it when Hinge was kind of quite a new thing. Also Bumble as well.
I haven't seen Bumble.
Where the girl talks first, like the girl has to like initiate the conversation. Yeah. I don't think they're great. Some people do find genuine connection, but I've found that when I've been using them, I've been quite sad, and you know, it's been kind of like post breakups where it's like, oh, I should really get myself back out there, and I'm actually a very like not in a good mental state. And I think it's probably the same for a lot of other people on there. It's very time consuming to use them. And
yeah, especially if you want to go on the dates.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, physically meet people.
Yeah. And I just feel like it's better to put your energy into your friends, like your friendships or your work or other things that inspire or motivate you. I think that in society we put so much importance and pressure on finding love and finding that one other person. It's just such a strange such a strange thing, isn't it, when actually I get so much back from so many other things in my life. Yeah, I don't know. I could talk about it for a longer time, but I won't bore you with the rest.
This is Midnight Dipper by Warm Disha.
Here he comes in a four-wheel drive, been up all night and he's ready to die. And there she goes in a skin-tight suit, just ran away from home and got nothing to do. So he pulled in fast, she jumped in quick, loaded up a pipe and they both took a hit, yeah. Take me back, eyes closed tight.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Haven't heard about warm dusher before.
Really?
No. So what's a warm dusher? That's someone who takes a warm shower?
I don't know what the name means. Urban Dictionary?
I'll probably get something about douches from Dusher.
Yeah. To douche. To shower.
How did you write your song Supermarket about getting kicked out of a store? What inspired the lyrics?
It was written just as restrictions were easing, lockdown restrictions were easing, and we'd all spent a couple of years of, 18 months of the most exciting thing that you would do with your week is go to the supermarket, and yeah, the song kind of imagined a reality, well, I mean, it was the reality, where, I don't know, to blow off some steam, these, people go to the supermarket and have a very nice time on all sorts of substances.
In the supermarket?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good idea, if the clubs are closed.
Yeah.
Because you have lots of colors and stuff, and, if you're on some kind of psychedelic, it could be a great trip,
yeah.
I suppose.
Well, I wouldn't even have to be on anything. I'd just go to the supermarket. They'd be pumping the tunes out. I'd be dancing around, picking up my shopping. I was just, everything was quite overstimulating, wasn't it?
But did they actually throw you out for that?
No, I've never been thrown out of a supermarket.
Not yet.
What kinds of fans do you have? Do they get in touch with you? Or?
Yeah, Instagram is a wild place, isn't it? There's a lot of people send us a lot of love through Instagram, which is very cool and kind of overwhelming. Yeah, I don't know what kind of, I guess international. Yeah, which is strange for us, country bumpkins from the Isle of Wight. It's very strange to realize that, we're going on tour in America and around Europe, and there are actual people that have bought tickets. So we will see. We'll see what they look like.
Do you get recognized in the street yet?
Like, I live in London, so I've been recognized like a couple of times. So funny. But Hester, on the Isle of Wight, how's it for you?
I only see my mum.
Does she recognize you?
Luckily, yes.
My mum started calling me wet leg.
That's so funny. My mum sometimes calls me and Joshua, hello, wet legs.
That's really cute.
Like, after a while, you know, we haven't seen each other. It's very funny.
Mummy, daddy, look at me. I went to school and I got a degree. All my friends call it the big D. I went to school and I got the big D. I got the big D. I got the big D.
Well, Frederick, we really must be on our way. Thank you very much for having us.
Well, dearest country bumpkins, enjoy your stay in Stockholm. Thanks for coming over.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for the coffee.
Yeah, delicious coffee.
Excuse me.
What?
Hey, you over there on the chaise long in your underwear. What are you doing sitting down? You should be horizontal now. Sign some.